Once you choose hope, anything is possible. Christopher Reeve.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright, and you're listening to The Essential Oil Revolution, the world's number one essential oils podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and of course, essential oils. Today on our show, we talk about an issue that I think affects way more people than you would think. It's the issue of mold. And even if you don't relate to mold as an issue specifically, I think everyone can relate to our guest Bridget Danner's story about how her world was just completely turned upside down after losing everything to toxic mold, and how she took charge of her health, turned things around, and now helps others do the same. That's in a moment, but first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's DIY dugout recipe comes from Michelle in Los Angeles, California. Her recipe is called Get It Girl. It's the perfect recipe to diffuse while you get dolled up for a big night out. To make the Get It Girl, you'll need 3 drops rose, 3 drops rosemary, and 3 drops lavender. She says it'll raise your vibration and make you feel grounded at the same time. Get it, girl? I love it. We love hearing your DIY recipes. Send us yours by emailing us at diy@revolutionoilspodcast.com. When you do, you get automatically entered to win our monthly giveaway of a bottle of orange essential oil and our favorite recipes ebook.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with Bridget Danner, who has been a licensed acupuncturist since 2004 and a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner since 2015. After losing everything to toxic mold, Bridget now educates about toxins and how to detoxify with a functional healthcare approach through her online community at bridgetdanner.com. She is also the author of The Ultimate Toxic Mold Recovery Guide, Take Back Your Home, Health, and Life, now available on Amazon. Bridget, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, no one kind of gets into this line of work for just no reason. So I got to know, what's the story? There's got to be a story here of how your life turned into doing this for a living.
You know, it's kind of an interesting full circle story. So I got into Chinese medicine not because I was sick, more I was very interested in like natural living and protecting the environment. So I thought that would be a good way to just educate people and get them more into that way of life. And then I started my practice in Portland, Oregon, obviously a very wet place, and it took me a long time to realize that I think really, first of all, the climate and then a home that I lived in for about 8 years was really full of toxic mold. So I was getting sicker and sicker and trying more and more things to feel well. I was eating like super clean, making my own bone broth, like everything, you know, and I would have ups and downs. And I would see different practitioners. Yeah, I was just learning a lot on my own. But still, yeah, up and down, up and down. And then this one winter, I was just really down. I got strep throat and I didn't come back from that. I was just exhausted. I was getting IV therapy. So I was at a naturopathic clinic, a student clinic, actually. And I was like, you gotta just like figure out something for me. Like I had just done a month-long detox. Like I was getting IVs. I'm like, I'm not feeling better. You know, something's going on. And in that time, they asked me, anything changed in your home? And that was the first, you know, inkling and discussion that it could be mold-related, because we had this musty basement and it recently had a little water intrusion. So then we tested, and you know, that really changed the direction of my career and my life. I was, you know, treating a lot of pain, and I was specializing in hormones. But once I went through this big detox experience, I knew I wanted to focus more on detox and mold and share that. So I just slowly moved into that specialty.
What was the hardest part about suffering from that toxic mold? I mean, what did that feel like? How did you finally recognize that that's what was going on?
Yeah, symptom-wise, I mean, when I was at my lowest, I guess I was at a pretty low point before we found mold, and then I was at an even lower point when we started ripping up our house because we kind of made mistakes. So I mean, I was incredibly forgetful. Like my short-term memory was completely fried. I'd open in like a tab on my, you know, the internet tab, and I'd be like, have to say like, what were you doing? What were you doing? What were you, like, in my head like five times before I'd remember. I just can't even believe I was going on like that. You know, I still was running a business and everything. And I remember one time I lost my cell phone for like almost an hour. I was supposed to be on a meeting. I had put it in a kitchen drawer. Like I was just becoming really spacey. My eyelid was twitching. You know, I was anxious. I couldn't sleep. My digestion was off. Mold can and really wreck so many systems. So I think really my first symptoms were, you know, dealing with some chronic pain, digestive issues, some period issues, some insomnia. And really nobody thought, oh, that could be mold. You know, like many people who go through mold, like they're experiencing symptoms for a long time and getting diagnosed with, you know, adrenal exhaustion or IBS or whatever. And it's just never really getting to the root because no one's considering the living environment or the working environment. So, yeah, it got to the point where I was just so exhausted. It was like my body was like fantasizing about dying. I was just like, maybe I could take some pills and not have to do this all over again. It was like not a conscious thought. It was just – it's a little scary. It's just like my body was – my cellular exhaustion was so strong. I was like losing the will to live, which is pretty scary.
Wow, that sounds terrifying. Is there an official way to diagnose for toxic mold?
Yeah. So nowadays there is a way to test through urine that's pretty good and accurate that I think they didn't even have like 20 years ago. They used to do a collection of blood tests that were more like markers for inflammation or just, you know, different markers that all put together can suggest you have some kind of environmental toxin. But now there are really good tests. They're not tests you're going to find in your primary care office, right? They're, you know, still not really recognized by that community, although there are some primary care doctors who, you know, depending on where they live or their training, are getting more involved in mold, which is great. But normally it's a urine test you can take for your body. And then there's a lot more home testing that's growing now as well. So and that's kind of the good news, is there are a lot more options at our fingertips if we suspect mold.
Mm-hmm. And you say at our fingertips, but can you be a little more specific on how someone actually seeks out that form of testing? Would they have to find a functional practitioner? Is there, you know, all these direct to your home tests our companies are popping up. Do you have any experience with any of those, or can point people further in that direction?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So for body testing, you often have to go through a practitioner. Like for instance, the way we do is you can put it right in your cart from our website, and then we interpret it for you when it comes in. But sometimes, you know, you're going to your local naturopath or what have you. I think that real-time labs, you can order on your own as a consumer. And they offer a mycotoxin urine test and a dust test. So they're testing for some of the toxins that the most dangerous molds give off. So we have a little ebook about that and on our site to just at least get you started. Because it is confusing. Like, you know, the unfortunate part about mold is like it's a lot to learn and figure out right when you're not feeling well.
Right. So, and your brain's not working very well.
It's like, yeah. It's like being a new mom.
Exactly. That's so challenging. Well, I want to switch the conversation a little to essential oils. I'm sure that there were many tools in your toolkit when you were dealing and recovering from this. But tell me how essential oils played a role in that journey.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, I didn't know much about essential oils previously. I just had a few, but before I found out I had mold, I had, you know, a friend who was distributing essential oils, and I bought like a starter kit from her plus a few extra things for my hormones So I had like 15 oils or blends right as I was entering into this period. So I wasn't exactly studying them. I just was kind of reading the bottle and using, you know, it was very basic, which is, I think, encouraging. Like, you don't have to, you know, be a huge expert. But I was so symptomatic all over the map, you know, headaches, digestive issues, anxiety. So I was using oils, I would say, in a symptom relief way pretty heavily. And I do think it helped, you know, and as you know, it kind of keeps you from going over the over-the-counter direction to, you know, use essential oils. So I can get more specific, but that's sort of the bigger picture of how.
Yeah, let's hear the specifics. I'm curious, like, what oils would sure. you reach for and why? I mean, were they just helping you with things like headaches? And yeah, elaborate.
It's funny. I think the one that stands out the most is I was having really chronically swollen glands in my throat and kind of my groin too. And I started using Citrus Bliss, which I can tell you is like a doTERRA blend. It has orange, lemon, grapefruit, mandarin, lime, bergamot, lychee. And again, like, it doesn't even, I don't think it says anything about lymph or whatever. It was just sort of an instinct to use it. And my body really liked that one. So I would just use it, you know, topically, like kind of dabbing it on my throat morning and evening. And then I certainly was using like digestive support, like the Digest Zen, which is peppermint, ginger, cardamom, caraway. Some of the digestive ones are also helpful for mold itself, as is like a Thieves or Angor type of blend is good for mold itself. We can get more into like how much essential oils can or can't do for mold, but yeah, I was more using it, you know, symptomatically for, you know, I was catching colds and flus a lot because my immune system was so weak. And let's see, for hormones, I really liked ylang ylang and clary sage. For me, I was having like a lot of breakthrough bleeding during that time with my periods. Basil, I like a lot for muscle pain, you know, peppermint, headaches, anxiety. I was doing cedarwood, lavender, that kind of thing. It's interesting because I wasn't, you know, I was busy, you know, I was busy trying to survive and right. and have a kid and have a business. And so I wasn't super knowledgeable, but I think I was very consistent with usage mm-hmm. during this entire time. So I think looking back, it did help me a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll throw out just one tip. One of our guests a long time ago on the show was talking about mold, and one of the ways that they would attack it would be with the Thieves Household Cleaner, but without diluting it. So the Thieves Household Cleaner, it's an amazing all-purpose plant-based concentrate that you typically will mix with water, and you can use it as just like an all-purpose cleaner. But she would just take the straight up concentrate and spray it on, I think it was areas of her basement that she was trying to remediate mold with, and diffuse a lot of clove. Clove is a really powerful one for those scenarios as well. But I'm sure you have a lot of experience with the do's and don'ts of mold remediation. And I'm curious,
exactly.
I'm thinking like one of the don'ts might be don't deal with it yourself, hire a professional, but that's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think the oils can be helpful for, like you said, cleaning, diffusing, but that's really more for, say, while you're remediating or after you're done, because, you know, they aren't potent enough to penetrate drywall or floorboard or whatever and really deal with a water damage situation. So it's just important to, you know, remember that and do the big work as well.
Yeah. Yeah. This brings up a question I wanted to ask you. You had used the word toxic mold. How do you tell the difference between toxic mold in the home versus just mold?
Yeah, good question. It really just by testing is the only way to know. You can't visually know or know by the smell of it. And, you know, now that I've gotten to know more mold testers and remediators, there is also a danger to just a high level of mold in the home, even if it's not one of like the dozen toxic strains, just because it's still a load for your body to be processing, and it's mixing with other chemicals and things in the home that add to your load. So there is that. I guess as a practitioner, I focused more on the toxic strains. Some of those, probably the two most common are Aspergillus and Penicillium, which are like two families. They grow pretty quickly when there's water damage. The one that gets a little bit more famous is Sacchibotrys, or they call it black mold. And it is very dangerous, but it's not to say that just plain old Aspergillus penicillium aren't dangerous. So, mm-hmm. you know, any of the ones that are toxic are dangerous. And again, just even a humid kind of moldy, musty home isn't very good for you either.
Right. So what are some of your go-to methods for cleaning, for maybe penetrating some deeper water damage, drywall, things like that?
So I guess there's the prevention aspect that would be more, you know, cleaning, running a dehumidifier, that sort of thing. And then there's, we may have a problem or remediating a problem. So you want me to start in one place or the other?
Yeah, let's start with remediation, and then we'll go to preventative.
Okay. So let's say, you know, any building, I really think in the life of a building, pretty much any building is going to experience water damage, right? It's just, you know, you have a pipe burst in the winter, or, you know, your gutters get backed up, or, you know, one remediator or tester I interviewed said every crawl space he's ever been in is moldy. So the odds are high, really. So it is good to know, you know, for one thing, if an area stays wet beyond 48 hours, it's going to mold. So that's like your critical time. So, you know, let's say there's a flood in your bathroom for some reason. Some people will just turn off the water and like put some towels down, and that's kind of it. But if that water is penetrated into the floor of the bathroom, even though it looks dry from the top, if that floorboard it got wet, now it could be growing mold. And even if it appears dry or it's a dry time of the year, it still can give out spores and toxins from inside there. So that's the trouble, and that can be a little harder to, you know, identify. But if you do go through any incident in your home, I would say get someone out right away. I know here in Phoenix, I see trucks, you know, going by that kind of emergency cleaning for any type of emergency repairs, right, for mold or fire or whatever. You know, get somebody to look at it quickly rather than just hope for the best. So, you know, it's a project. It's, you know, it's really like becomes like a building project. You know, you have to cut out, you know, saturated carpet or drywall. You know, I live in Arizona now. It's very dry. You know, if I had some wet drywall, I could potentially, you know, run fans and dry it out. But a lot of climates aren't as good for that. So,
right.
Speed of recovery is important. And then really, yeah, getting a proper contractor, mold remediator out, unless someone in the family is just already in that industry, you know, maybe they can do it themselves. But I have a friend whose husband just like went at the wall with like a sledgehammer, you know, for one thing, if you're going to open up mold, you need to, protect the area, right? You need to put up like a plastic screen. You need to cover the vents. You need to run an air scrubber. So like those are some of the things that many home remediators won't think of. They'll just start opening things up, which can actually make you sicker. So those are a few things to consider. And you know, every situation is a little different, right? Because some things happen suddenly. Other times, like us, you know, we purchased a home that we didn't know had a mold problem. So there wasn't any big leak or anything to point to. Those situations are a little trickier. And then I think you can think about measuring the humidity. For instance, we should have been running a dehumidifier in our basement constantly because the humidity level was high enough that it lets mold grow. So you really want definitely under 60%, ideally under 50%. So if you're living in a humid place, you know, consider that. Overstuffed closets, consider that. Areas that don't get circulation. So there are a lot of different scenarios where, you know, mold could potentially grow. But usually there's been some kind of water intrusion. But it could be between the walls, which makes it tricky to find. There is a meter you can buy. Again, if you're handy, you can buy like a moisture meter for the walls. And if you get a good mold inspector, they will also test for signs of moisture in the walls, among other things.
Yeah. So it sounds like a dehumidifier, if you live in a humid area, is maybe one of those top tools that you would use to combat. Yeah. Because if your humidity is below, you know, 60 or 50%, then mold just simply can't grow in those areas.
Yes. Yeah. That's a really important tool. And I think one that we don't really think of. So I guess we a bit skipped ahead to remediation, but really the step before that is, you know, evaluating. So whether you have an inspector come out or you do some home testing with kits, just to get a sense of, you know, what you're dealing with. Like if you have a pipe burst, you know you have a problem.
Right.
Some of the other problems are a little trickier to diagnose.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any other tips you want to give for preventative care?
Yeah. So, you know, being a little minimal, I guess there's no thing as little minimal, but not, you know, not having all your closets and everything just kind of stuffed to the brim, letting there be some airflow in all the places. Cleaning often, as much as we might not enjoy it, but using a HEPA vacuum, wet dusting, wet mopping, because things gather in that dust, whether it's chemicals or mold or what have you. So keeping a clean home is great. Changing your air filter on your HVAC system is really important. Here in Arizona, we're supposed to change it once a month because it's so dusty. Yeah. Some people, I remember when my ex-husband and I owned that house, like we didn't even know you could change it. It was like disgusting, right? It had been like 3 years the same. And we had mold and we didn't even know it. So
right.
Yeah, now that I'm, you know, own my own home, I'm good about all that stuff. You know, I'm good about home maintenance because I know
they don't teach that stuff in school. They need to have a home maintenance. They need to bring back home ec, right? And include things like change your HVAC filter.
That'd be amazing.
It's shocking how long it takes for young adults to learn that. Because it's not their fault. It's just no one's taught them how to keep a home, you know? It's so hard. This makes me think of kind of a silly question. And I always think about like our ancestors when these conversations come up. Like, you know, back in the day, there was no HVAC. There were no dehumidifiers. Like everyone was burning, you know, logs in their home, which emits so much soot and ash and all these things, you know. Were more people suffering from toxic mold back then, but we just maybe didn't really have a name for it and like dying young, or were we just sort of more robust and healthier back then and hardier? So we just like weren't affected as much. Do you know anything about the history?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah. So there are biblical references to mold and is it a yeast or no, it's a bacteria growing. They had like these different protocols actually. Because say there was like, you know, these dwellings were much more primitive, but they were still dwellings and they could get humidity. So there actually are biblical references about that. You know, or this is a little closer time, but, you know, I've had some clients in England and, you know, they have these old farmhouses that are brick or, you know, stone. And yeah, mold can grow there too, for sure. They've kind of accepted apparently in England, and they just call it dampness. They're like, oh, that's just a little bit of damp. It's a wet climate also. And, you know, there's probably just, but I think to your point, there are people who are maybe hardier, more in and out, you know, not in the home as much as we are now, or our more far back ancestors were more nomadic, right? So if they kept moving, and you're not staying in a place that's, you know, toxic for you if you just keep moving. So I think one of our modern downfalls is we can get pretty attached to our homes, and they're full of stuff. And so if we find out there's a problem, you know, it's quite expensive. We have all these things. The moving is inconvenient. You know, the market isn't good. So I just see it quite a bit that people resist moving, even though, frankly, it could be the number one thing they need to do.
It is. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it is. It can be true for some people. Is that one of the reasons you moved to Arizona?
Yeah. So we remediated the house we were in, but we did sell it. You know, we were just not comfortable to be in. You know, it almost makes you paranoid. So we weren't comfortable to be in there anymore, but we did an excellent job of remediating it. And we actually hired a company to come in and wipe down, you know, the walls, all the surfaces when we were done with thieves and vinegar and water. So I feel good that, you know, the next resident is fine, but we were kind of mentally over it. So then we lived in a different place in Oregon for a rental for about a year. But we just kind of felt like in that climate, we just weren't recovering. You know, it's just a long, wet winter, and a lot of places have mold. So we just felt kind of unsafe and like we couldn't really heal.
That makes sense. And it reminds me of stories of before HVAC, especially, it was quite common for sick children's or sick family to move somewhere sunnier, right? Like out of England for a while to recover from things like pneumonia or whatnot, because that climate, that air quality, just the wetness, the dampness, as they say, was so severe. And it would be really hard to heal in that environment.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, they would just like haul him out to like some sunny place.
Yeah. it or like really by the ocean work. Or like by the seaside, right, where the air was constantly moving.
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, and that can be a good transition thing for folks going through this too. You know, can you get away for the summer to, you know, live with relatives or even like camping? A lot of people will, you know, We did one of these trips as well. When we sold our home, we spent 2 months traveling, a month in Arizona and a month like kind of on the road. And it was really good for us, you know, just to take that stress of the home and all the things away and, you know, be somewhere new and get outside a lot. It's simple. And I mean, it's free in a sense, like there's no medical treatments or whatever going on. You do have to plan it, though, and figure it out. But yeah, that's a great way, actually, to get some healing.
Well, Bridget, this has been fascinating. I'm learning so much. You have so much to offer. I thank you for doing what you do, first of all. I think having a resource like you that makes functional medicine a little more accessible. But you have all sorts of tests on your website that look absolutely phenomenal and all sort of rooted in this education base. So I appreciate that about you. I want to give folks a chance to learn the best way to connect with you. But first, I want to ask you our closing questions. And the first is, what's one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy?
Yeah, well, kind of repeating back to something we just said, getting outdoors and movement are my two things. And again, practically free, mostly free. I think that, you know, well, it's not, I don't just think, I know the, you know, indoor air quality is worse than out. Plus, being outside is just really good for our nervous systems. You know, there's just a lot of benefits. So even if it's just taking a walk around the neighborhood, get out. And then movement, you know, movement pumps lymph. It helps our mood. It helps us detoxify. So those were two things that did help me a lot. And I think just keep us well as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, finally, Bridget, what's just one thing that we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
All right, I'm going to say one that's perhaps unpopular, which is sugar. I've been really a lot better about sugar this year and just taking a different view on it. I think in our society, we use it so much as, you know, a reward or it's a special occasion, but it's such a short-term pleasure. for a lot of, you know, long-term detriment. So I just would encourage people to, you know, think about that. Like, I love a sweet thing after a meal. You know, I crave it. But you do learn to just let that pass or eat a date or, you know, do something healthier. So it just might be good for people listening to just, you know, stop and question, you know, do you eat that piece of cake because someone just put it in front of you? And can you say no thank you? And if you really cut down on sugar, I think you start to really acutely feel how strong it is if you have it again. So I encourage people to play with that one.
Yeah. How do you feel about sugar alternatives like honey, maple syrup, or stevia, those kinds of things?
Yeah, I think better for sure, you know, because those are usually just sweeteners. I mean, you don't want to be having sweeteners constantly all day long. That's probably still an addiction. But I think a whole food sugar, like I'll make with my son, you know, like hot cocoa with like almond milk and collagen and maple syrup, and it's pretty healthy compared to the kind you get in the little packet that has corn syrup and sugar. And, you know, it's so I think you can still have some sweet taste in your life. It's just, yeah, like you said, it's kind of about the quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bridget, this has been fabulous. I understand that you have a summit coming up on this topic. Can you tell us about that and also point people to the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. So we have a few different free resources for mold. It's our called Toxic Mold Masterclass. It's coming up. It will be live February 27th, 2023. But if you hear this podcast much later, the link that Sam gives you will still work. We'll still have you know, free education there. And so we talk to home inspectors, you know, mold remediators, physicians, naturopaths, about all different aspects of this mold journey. So if it's something you're curious about, it's a great way to tune in and learn a little bit. We also have a little mold recovery starter guide that's free at bridgetdanner.com. And then, yeah, I have a full-length book on Amazon in audio and Kindle and print that's really meant to be your start-to-finish guide if you're going through mold. So we talk about everything in detail, right? Every type of supplement, type of testing, you know, all that. So that, you know, just as someone who's gone through it, I feel like I really also know like the emotions that come in different stages. Mm-hmm. So I address that as well.
Awesome. What an amazing resource. Thank you for putting that together, Bridget. We'll put a link to all that in the show notes, make it really easy for people to connect with you, the summit, the book, everything. So congratulations as well about this this business that you've built around this topic. It's really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it does feel good to know that people who are at that real low that I was at, you know, I can do something to help them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing better than learning from the person who's been through what you're going through now and has come out the other side. So yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you for spending your time with us here today on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Thank you.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Essential Oil Revolution. If you have an extra 2 minutes on your hands right now, do us a favor and leave us a rating and review and share us with your friends. It truly helps the show grow and get into more ears around the world. Thank you so much. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.